In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. I am going to do something today I never do. In this sermon, I'm about to do something I'm vehemently opposed to, at least in principle. I want to tell you about a Greek word in the first sentence of one of our texts. To many of you, to be fair, this will seem like I'm finally doing my job, finally providing some deep biblical engagement, or at least I'm making much ado about nothing. But I loathe when preachers start talking about Greek words in ancient biblical texts. My disdain for this practice comes from a simple reason. When pastors start talking about special secret meanings of Greek words, they confirm the entirely bogus notion that you have no way to study the Bible unless you go to seminary for study for years and become some kind of expert. It's completely untrue. Don't believe it. Everyone here has the ability to read and understand, you can even say the obligation to read and understand the biblical story. That said, the modern English translations for the first verse of our reading from the Acts of the Apostles this morning, our reading from the story of Pentecost, these translations, they leave me little choice. Their uninspired choice for the first line, when the day of Pentecost had come, leaves out one of the great details of the text. To be clear, and to my earlier point, you can completely understand this story without the detail I'm about to provide. But it gets so much better with this little tidbit. My issue is with the had come of when the day of Pentecost had come. The Greek word being translated, here it comes, for had come is som plerestai, a vodified form of the word, of the verb plero. It means, more literally, it means to be filled completely, or to have come to completion, or to have fully come. It's actually how the King James Version translated this story. It starts out, and when the day of Pentecost had fully come. I appreciate they were taking out the fully to try and make it a little easier to read, perhaps a little bit better to understand, but it misses out on something interesting. When the day of Pentecost had fully come implies that Pentecost had at least come in some part before. It implies that the Holy Spirit who came at Pentecost had been on the scene, at least in part, in previous stories. And that now on this day, the Spirit was not just coming again. It was not just moving like it did in creation, or as it did between Adam and Eve, or as it did in the words of the Old Testament prophets. No, on this day, the Holy Spirit was going to come in full. When the day of Pentecost had plero, that is, when it had fully come, it's the same word that Luke uses when he talks about Jesus on the cross, when he says that at that moment, the day he had been lifted up, the days for his being lifted up had fully come. It's the same word used by St. Paul when writing to the Galatians about the birth of Jesus. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son. It's the same promise of Psalm 16, in thy presence, O Lord, there is the fullness of joy. In Acts later, Peter gives a speech. It said he's full of the Holy Spirit. As a result of that speech, a whole collection of new believers were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. Stephen, when he was martyred, was a man full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit, and he gazed into the heaven and saw the fullness of the glory of God. When Paul, when he saw that blinding light on the road to Damascus, and he went and saw an old priest, he counseled him and said, "You will regain your sight, and you will be filled with the Holy Spirit." You get the idea. It's a big deal to be full of the Holy Spirit, not just to have a little bit of it, but to be full. It was a big deal for the day of Pentecost to have fully come. It's a big deal for the Holy Spirit to have fully come, because that means the change happened. Those of you who've been with us for our Easter sermon series, you knew we'd get there. Today is the day. It's the end of our Easter sermon series, the end of the Easter season of the church calendar. We've been asking the question, what if one morning everything changed? Over the last few weeks, we've looked at how things changed when the tomb was found empty by those women a couple of months back. We've considered how the change Easter brings is not just about eternal life, but also about the inbreaking of God's kingdom and the beginning of his reign over creation. We looked at how for Peter this meant a new authority. No longer did he have to be this people-pleasing guy for the Roman emperor, but was able to work for God alone. Following difficult news in our own parish and around the world a few weeks back, we remembered how the church is responsible for showing this new kingdom and new authority in our labors. We celebrated the success of the work of the church close to home and in distant places. We recommitted ourselves to being servants to the world, following the example of our servant king. We reaffirmed our identity last week, not in what we do for a living or how mundane our labors, but in our destiny with Jesus in heaven. And this morning, when the Holy Spirit fully comes, we remember that in our own day, the Holy Spirit has fully come, and that we live and minister by the Holy Spirit's power working through us and through our community here in St. Francis. But look back at that story. That story, when the Holy Spirit fully came and when all the known world heard the message of the gospel, many will look upon the church as they did in that day and give that sneer, are they just full of new wine? It's kind of a joke, Peter makes it out to be. But the question is real. Are we merely filled with something which will never produce the intended consequences, despite how nice it might feel to show up and to see the red vestments and to feel like God is doing something? Such a feeling might even be among some of us gathered here this morning. Can we really sing these songs and feel good about having come to church, but aren't we just pretending? Won't it look different when we sober up, when we wise up to the ways of the world? But my friends, it's only 11 o'clock in the morning. We're not full of wine. We are full of the Spirit of the living God. The drunkard, for what it's worth, is instructive. We human beings are incomplete, and the fictional drunk in this story from Acts quite properly recognizes that human nature stands in need of some power that will get us out of ourselves. But in our search for something that takes us out of ourselves, we should never settle for something that will corrupt and destroy us. Rather, the Holy Spirit fills us. It loosens our tongue. It loosens our actions for living as if indeed everything that we've talked about that's changed since the resurrection, to live as if that's really true. We are empowered and freed by being filled with the Holy Spirit, as if indeed everything changed. Jesus Christ, he rose from the dead. The women found the tomb empty. Subsequently, Peter snubbed a corrupt emperor. The church showed the world a new king and a new kingdom by her labors. We became indentured servants of the world. Our identity was found in heaven. And on this day, the Holy Spirit fully came. Where is the Holy Spirit trying to come in your life and my life this morning? Where have we let it just merely show up, but not come in full? Let us open those places of our heart and our soul and our mind and our bodies to the Lord, so that we might live here in this world confident that the Holy Spirit has fully come and everything changed. In the name of the living God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.